Joining us now, CBS 4's Justin Adams. Follow him at Justin Adams TV on Twitter. And Justin, welcome to the show. I have the first question to you about George Payton, the idea we just talked about, the relationships you have to build to work in the NFL at this level. It's a big part of this, maybe even as big as the fact that you can make good draft choices, isn't it?
Well, 100%, especially when today you hear Rick Spielman, who's the GM for the Minnesota Vikings, talk specifically about the way that Payton is going to build the roster with Denver is actually through the draft. The same thing that they did in Minnesota is the same thing that we'll probably see what will happen here. And so if you don't have those relationships with your scouting departments, with your player personnel, with all those different guys around the league, then you're in a whole lot of trouble, especially if you want to build your team throughout the draft and not through free agents. So that's one of the most important things that Payton will have to do.
This really is kind of a role, even more so than the coach. Even though the modern coach today is a CEO type of role where you have to delegate and send things off to your coordinator, something that Vic Fangio appears to have struggled with in his first 2 years. But in George Payton's case, as the GM, that is, as far as football goes, pretty close to the main CEO position. You have to handle, like you mentioned, your scouting department, your analysts, but you also have to work with the coach and even sometimes some of the players. So when you look at the modern role of a GM, is it the most complicated part of a team?
Oh, everything's complicated now. I mean, more than ever before. I mean, it used to be a day where you could just say, hey, here's the guys that I'm picking. You coach, deal with it. You know, you make this salad. You make it work. And nowadays it's, okay, you know, Fangio, what type of guys do you like, okay? Do you need some press corners? We all know that Vic Fangio loves to run the zone, so he needs big, tall cornerbacks. Those are the type of guys that he's going to be looking for in the draft. Or are you going to be looking for a quarterback? What type of quarterback? What type of system are you going to be running? Those are all the different things that you have to do. So you have to look at the roster that you have, talk to your coaches that are currently in place, and make sure that you get the players in place to help out everybody. And it takes a lot of different things. So the analytics, to watching film, to speaking with coaches, to speaking with high school coaches, for goodness sake, you got to make sure that the right guys are in the building so you can succeed on Sunday.
Look, put yourself in George Payton's shoes for a minute. Now, you don't have control over your coaching staff, at least not this year. John Elway made it clear that Fangio and his staff are staying. You don't necessarily have control over everything, but because John Elway said that he's going to be involved in decisions like Von Miller's contract. Mm-hmm. So if you're George Payton, how do you put your fingerprints on the 2021 Denver Broncos? What are the two or three things that you make sure you change?
You go through the draft, number one, and you make sure that, number one, you find out who your quarterback is. That's the number one thing that you can do, and that, you know, you don't have to worry about Von Miller's contract in order to find out who's going to be taking the snaps under center. That's the number one thing. The number two thing has to be Justin Simmons. And I understand you can hear about John Elway having his input and all these other different things. At the end of the day, you got to make sure that you have the same type of, you know, center that safety that Minnesota have. I believe it's Harrison Smith, if I'm not incorrect. Mm-hmm. But you got to make sure you have somebody like that. And that's what you do with Justin Simmons. And then there's other decisions too, right? Kareem Jackson, you have to go make a decision on. Tim Patrick, for example, even though he'll be restricted, are you going to bring him back? I mean, there's so many different things that you have to do. Philip Lindsay, for example. So even though I know you gave me two, there's a bevy of decisions that need to be made under George Payton.
Well, let's look at that quarterback spot first and foremost. He has a six-year deal, which means he's going to be able to outlast things conceivably in for the 2022 season. If the Broncos go 6-10, mm-hmm. let's say, he can move on from Vic Fangio. If you're looking at the quarterback, are you waiting with Drew Lock for one more year and just seeing how this all goes and using it as an opportunity to evaluate? Or are you deciding, look, this is my first shot at this job, I'm going to go make a splash right now?
I will go make a splash right now, depending on what happens. I mean, let's say if the Jets do go and grab themselves a quarterback in the first round, then what stops you from going to get Sam Darnold? Let's say if there's a chance you get Matt Stafford and you could somehow work out the deal or get the contracts and things rolling where it could work out for you with a salary cap. Why wouldn't you go out and get him? I mean, we know for the most part what Drew Lock is at least two seasons in. He took a big step backwards. I mean, he's 4-9 last year as a starter. I don't know how many guys that you go and say, hey, he's going to make a huge leap forward with somebody who was 4-9 as a starter, had 16 touchdown passes and 15 interceptions. I mean, unless if you believe in him that much, then you need to go and be prepared to make a move at the quarterback position. So that's what I would do, but I don't like the idea of counting seasons as mulligans. The only mulligans you have are in golf. I don't like that in football, especially in a contact sport, where truly in one play, somebody's career can change. You could have Cortland Sutton tear his ACL. You could have so many different things happen. So you need to make sure that every year you're putting the best product you can on the field.
So in Drew Lock's case, obviously, George Payton being the first Broncos GM that doesn't come from the Broncos organization in any way since 1981, he has no particular attachment to Drew Lock. John Elway drafted him. He didn't. He's just going to look at film and decide if he's the guy or not. I look at one of the quarterbacks in the division that he is leaving, the Chicago Bears, and Mitchell Trubisky, who at times, if you go watch him, you're like, wow, this guy can really be a good player. He's just got to put it all together. He has all the tools. But now we're years into Mitchell Trubisky's career, and it seems like he's just good enough to get some people fired. When you look at Drew Lock, do you see the same similarities I do?
100%. I mean, that's just the reality of the quarterback position, though. I mean, you think of guys who have had long tenures as general managers, long tenures as head coaches. What's the one thing that they had in common? They all had a quarterback. Guys don't stick around if you don't have a quarterback. You got to go and make sure that you have that guy. And I can't even say that Drew Lock is even an early Andy Dalton, to be honest with you, because Andy Dalton, yeah, he had talent around him, but he at least led the Bengals early on to the playoffs. I can't even put Drew Lock in that category right now. At the end of the day, Drew Lock, for all that he did his rookie season, where he went 4-1 in the last five games, and 13 games he started this year, he was 4-9. Just for your listeners, is that somebody that you think should be the starter next year? Somebody who's 4-9? It's not somebody I think should be there.
Yeah, and that really is the challenge. I mean, you're talking about a guy that finished last among qualifying quarterbacks in completion percentage. No one threw more interceptions at all. If this isn't Drew Lock, if Broncos fans are looking at another team. Let's say Drew Lock is playing instead for the Eagles, and you see those stats. How many people in Broncos country are going to be looking at that and saying, well, they just need to play him a little longer. He'll figure it out, right? It seems like this, and I find myself in the mix of this, that I get fooled at times and believe that, okay, perhaps Drew Lock, if he just does this and does this. But when you see quarterbacks become all pros, it seems you see those flashes in the early going. Have you seen any of those flashes from Drew Lock at this point?
Ah, man. I don't know if it's flashes. The one thing I do know is against the Raiders, he did have a couple of real good passes, right? You had the one to Jerry Jeudy where you had that 92-yard catch and run. So you saw those type of flashes there, right? You saw a guy who didn't throw any interceptions in the last game of the season. But again, that was the last game of the season. There's no pressure. You're not worried about any type of playoffs at all. When the games mattered, you're in October, you're in November, or you're playing against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. All I remember is you threw a couple of picks, and you missed a couple of guys who were wide open when you had a chance to win that football game. So, yes, of course, Drew Lock is early, and we know that the clock for, you know, the evaluation of quarterbacks nowadays are accelerated at a rate that we've never seen before. But when you have so many guys who are out there, when you have so many upgrades at the quarterback position, at least you got to take a sniff. And to be honest, look, if Matt Stafford is out there, you have a guy who literally came from the same division, who has seen him for years, why wouldn't he pick him up if he's available? That's the one question I'll look at with George Payton.
And so am I right in assuming then, we're talking to Justin Adams of CBS4, that you'd rather see them go for a veteran, someone who could make an immediate leap, as opposed to someone like a Zach Wilson, a Justin Fields, who are probably gone before the Broncos pick at 9, or Trey Lance? You'd rather see them go to someone established so you could use those weapons that the Broncos have added in the last year or two?
Well, I would rather see the Broncos go and make a decision and move forward with it. Make a decision on a guy and go. If you're going to go with Drew Lock and that's going to be your guy, don't give me another year of, hey, we'll see if he's a franchise quarterback. At some point, you got to know. Like, you got to know that, hey, this is going to be the guy. And we get it that Drew Lock didn't have the full offseason. And arguably, he never really had a full offseason if you really look at it, right? I mean, his rookie season, he has a thumb injury when he gets into the preseason. And so he's missed a whole lot of time. So we get that, right? We get the coronavirus and different things like that has happened. But the product on the field is the product on the field at the end of the day. And you know what? If you're not winning football games, you will be replaced.
Well, this will be an interesting offseason because we know that ownership still looms large. Are you a little bit surprised in Peyton's case that he had no say over a coaching staff? I mean, we're talking about the numbers with Drew Locke and thinking that, you know, it would be easy to move away if you wanted because he just hasn't been phenomenal. Maybe one day he will be. Couldn't you say the same thing about Vic Fangio, who was 12-20 in 2 years?
But trust me, when you hear a 6-year deal and Woody Page, he wrote today in the Gazette where he said it's around $25 million. When you see 6 years, that means you do have a say in the coaching staff. Because if Vic Fangio doesn't have a winning record, or if he does get closer, or if you don't see any progress, then understand fully that Vic Fangio probably would be looking for a new job. And so that's what happens when you have a 6-year deal, because you are going to have a contract that's going to outlast whatever happens with the ownership. It's going to outlast whatever happens with the head coach position or head coach coaching job. And it's also going to outlast what happens at quarterback as well. So trust me, George Payton will have more than enough time to truly put his imprint on this roster.
Then why not let him do it now? Why not let him decide that, let's say he feels the same way about Vic Fangio that he might about Drew Locke, and say, you know what, I don't really think it's a great fit. I've seen him over in Chicago. It hasn't quite worked here at Denver yet. He's still making the same sort of clock management mistakes at the end of his second year. I think I would like to go get a new coach. And with that 6-year deal, why wouldn't the Broncos basically allow him to make that change today?
I think they're a little bit late in the game in order to make the change that they want to. I think they're just a little bit late if they're going to go that route with Vic Fangio. And also, they already said, hey, he's coming back for another year. And so this is not like, you know, the University of Texas where you go and say, Tom Herman, hey, you're going to come back. And we already have on social media and the AD and everybody saying you're coming back. And then, oh, by the way, Steve Sarkisian right afterwards, hey, we're just going to bring you in and fire the head coach. The Broncos aren't going to do that. This is really a 1-year deal for Vic Fangio. Are you going to improve as a defensive mind? Are you going to improve with your clock management? Is the team going to look a whole lot better around you? Because, again, if not, then, hey, I have 5 more years left on my deal, and I'll be able to make whatever changes I need to.
So what do you expect? We're talking to Justin Adams of CBS4, and what would you expect then? You're keeping Vic Fangio. It's a 1-year referendum on him, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. You have control over changing the quarterback, but you're not necessarily changing the coach. In this year, what realistically can change to make the Nuggets competitors, or are we really expecting kind of a ramp-up year, not really a redshirt, but kind of the similar sort of thing in which everything's just in a holding pattern with the Broncos' ownership situation, with the fact that their coaches, it's on a 1-year deal. Is this a situation where you can see the Broncos make a leap forward in the end?
They can make a leap forward if they have an identity. Find out who you are. That's the one thing that you do. Are you going to be a running team? Are you going to be an offense in the eyes of, you know, per se, the Gary Kubiak? You know, you're keeping Pat Shurmur. Are you going to, you know, you finally get an opportunity to really have that 3 wide receiver set that you really were looking for? Albert, he's going to be back. Noah Fant, obviously he'll be back. So now you have the pieces in place where you're not able to run the offense that you want to. The only problem is, what do you do at that quarterback position? So for me, I see this as a team that's average right now. At best, they could be 7-9, 8-8, if we're just talking right now at this moment. But it all depends on what happens in the draft. Will the Broncos move up in the draft? Will the Broncos even move down and get a couple more picks because, hey, they have a couple more holes to fill at cornerback, at linebacker, possibly at safety if you don't take care of Justin Simmons? Those are the type of things that are the questions that George Payton will have to answer. We'll see what he does in the draft.
He is Justin Adams. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And, of course, catch him on CBS4. Thank you for the insight. It's going to be an interesting situation because for the Broncos, to me, it feels like they're really prepping for 2022. But that's not really something you'd like to hear when it's January of 2021. So a lot to take a look at. Thank you for the time tonight, Justin.
Without a doubt. And one more thing I want to add before I do go. I was reading an article from The Athletic, Dan Brugler, who does a fantastic job with the draft. He was talking about how many scouts do not believe that the quarterbacks are as high on 2022 as they are in 2021. So if the Broncos do move up in the draft and they do go and try to pick up one of these guys, one of the top three quarterbacks or even top four, that could be the main reason why, because the quarterbacks in 2022 are right now not seen as good as the ones in 2021.
Thank you very much, Justin. Appreciate it. I'll catch you next week.
All right. Sounds like a plan. See you, Sean.
All right. Thank you. That's a really good point he just made at the end. If the Broncos under George Payton decided that Drew Lock is not his guy, and it is a one-year referendum on Vic Fangio, it's probably a one-year referendum on Drew Lock. If they even decide to go with him as a starter, remember, his second-round status means that having him as a backup is not unrealistic. Not at all unrealistic. He'd make about the same as what Jeff Driskel does at the end of next year, and that's what the backup originally was signed for in the offseason last year. So George Payton had an opportunity to sit down with Phil Milani of DenverBroncos.com and have some of his first conversations about what he sees with this team in Denver. We'll hear from him next.